I've got a message today I'd like to share, and it's a big one, so I'm going to give it to you like in bite-sized pieces. But it's titled The Veil. The Veil. A veil, defined by Webster's Dictionary, is to cover, obscure, or to conceal something, preventing something from being seen. Many of us are operating in our lives without fully understanding there's a veil preventing us from seeing clearly what's happening in the spiritual world around us. The passage of scripture I'm going to share today is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. Their minds were blinded, for unto this day the same veil remains unlifted, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on the heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Lord, I pray that every hearer, every ear, every listener will be blessed, and their eyes will be open, and their ears will be unstopped, so they can hear what the word is today, and that the veil will be removed from their eyes. If we take a moment to look a little closely at what I just read, we'll begin to understand there is something happening behind the scenes. There's a veil preventing many of us from seeing what's going on in the spiritual dimension, a spiritual dimension that is just as active and vibrant as the natural world we see with our eyes and that we sense with our five senses. But the writer says their minds were blinded. And we're all familiar with people losing their eyesight or being blind, groping around at times, not knowing which way to go, not knowing exactly where they are. But the writer here says their minds were blinded. So many of us today are operating with our minds being blinded. And you must ask yourself, what's behind this? You got to understand that when your mind is blinded, you are unable to see the realities of the spiritual dimension. He goes further and he says, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted. Now, this writer lived at a time that preceded a previous time. And now the Spirit of the Lord is saying that the same veil that he wrote about over 2,000 years ago today, it still remains today, unlifted. Why? Because the veil is taken away in Christ. The veil is only removed in Christ. There are a number of different organizations. There are many religious groups. There are many possibilities that people want to explore. And they want to say that there is more than one way. But I'm here to tell you right now, the veil is only removed in Christ. The writer further goes on to say, but even to this day, when Moses is read in reference to the Torah at that time, and I'm here to tell you that this applies today. And that's why I'm speaking to you today with such urgency, because even today, when the New Testament is read, there's a veil that lies on their heart. So first the writer said, there's a veil on their mind and their minds are blinded. Now the writer says there's a veil in their heart and their hearts are blinded, preventing them from receiving the glory of God, which he talks about. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Nevertheless, so regardless of your situation or your circumstance, then the only way to get this veil removed from your heart, to get this blindness out of your eyes, is to turn your life over to the Lord. That raises a question. Who or what is controlling the veil? What's behind the veil? Why does the veil exist? We get great insight, and I need you to listen to this carefully. It's found in Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Those are the names he goes by. But he says this, he which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now we see a new character introduced into humanity. It didn't just end there with Adam and Eve in the garden. This demonic being was cast down to dwell among us, and he hates God, and he hates humanity, but yet and still we don't seem to understand that this being is behind the veil. He deceiveth the whole world. We are told that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Listen to this. 1 John 5:19 says that we know that we are the children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Let there remain no more doubt after today that there is someone behind the curtain controlling and manipulating the current events of the world today. He says this, he makes it plain that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And that's why we're told in Romans 12:2, for us that are followers, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. You and I are to live in a different manner. You and I are to think differently. We are to operate differently than those that are completely under the influence of the world. Because behind the world, behind the veil, behind the curtain is Satan and his demonic forces. Then he instructs us to be you transformed by the renewal of your mind. If you and I, as so-called believers, don't renew our mind with the word of God, we will begin to operate, although we're saved, we will begin to operate just like the world. We'll begin to conduct ourselves just like the world. We will walk around defeated just like the world. We will walk around thinking I am less than just like the world. Instead of saying I'm more than a conqueror, you will say I'm less than a conqueror. Why? Because your mind has not been renewed with the word of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4, I think it's very important to look into this a little bit closer. The writer says, the God of this age, the God of this age, this dispensation, this time period, this era, there's a new day coming, but that's a different time and a different message. But the God of this age has blinded the mind. There we go again. The mind's being blinded. Whose mind is blinded? The unbeliever. Now you got to understand this. The blind, the God of this age, Satan and his demonic powers has blinded the minds of unbelievers. But why is he bothering to do this? So that they cannot see. So you understand, it's just not seeing with the eye. Our mind has the ability to see, and that's our creative imagination. Again, another message for another time, but I'm here to tell you the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he does not want you and I, he does not want them to see the light of the gospel. Why? Because the light of the gospel will dispel the darkness. The light of the gospel, the light of the word will display the glory of Christ. Why? Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word is God, and it displays the glory of Christ, who is the very image of God. I submit to you today, the very first step to get past the veil is to turn to Christ. Remember, the veil is taken away in Christ. So you and I must turn to Christ. You and I must compel others to turn to Christ. Too many times people are looking to their politician. People are looking to their checkbooks. People are looking to the car they drive. They're looking in the house they live in, but not understanding that it's only in Christ that the veil is removed. It is only in Christ that the fulfillment is there. In Acts 3:19, the writer says, therefore, in light of all that I just said, in light of all that we now know, therefore, repent and return. Return to your maker. Return to the creator. Return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And the entirety of this message is that the Lord desires fellowship. And he says, return. Return to your first estate. Return to your first love. Return to where you belong. Now, this is for those who at times consider themselves followers or so-called Christians, which really means to be Christ-like. But you must understand something. Just because you said a vow, just because you walked down the aisle, just because you said a prayer, that doesn't mean this is the end of the game. That doesn't mean life is going to be a tiptoe through the tulips. You and I are going to face challenges as believers in Christ. And Romans makes it clear in chapter 7, verse 23 and verse 25. The writer says, I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is at work within me. What a wretched man that I am. If more people begin to understand and declare, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death, and understand that it's only through Christ be the glory. And he says, I see something else at work in me. I want to do good, but I can't. But why is that? It's the flesh. It's the carnal nature. It's the powers of darkness. The writer says, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Who will rescue me this body that is under the influence of the powers of darkness? Who? He says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ. Again, the veil is only lifted in Christ. We find some of the responsibilities that we have as believers, some of the duties we must carry out to experience the fullness of God, to begin to walk as more than a conqueror. When we begin to understand, greater is he in me than he that's in the world, when we begin to declare with confidence, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, your world will be dynamically changed. The way you show up on the job will be changed. The way you show up in your marriage will be changed. You will begin to declare, like Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. I've laid myself out. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's why he said, be Christ is my hope of glory. In Galatians 5, 24, he said, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. But why? We're not talking about a physical death. We're not talking about dying on the cross. We're not talking about killing your physical body. He says, I've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. He says, I stopped the wild affections. I pushed past the crazy lust. He says they have given up their old selfish feelings, and they have given up the evil things they wanted to do. You're going to be challenged with these things. You're going to face desperation with these things. But I'm here to tell you, if you just lay aside the flesh, you lay aside every sin and weight that easily besets you, and focus your eyes on Christ, you will see the glory of God revealed in your life. The writer says there's a veil on the heart. Romans 7, 18. He says, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh or my sinful nature. Again, identifying where the central problem is. For I have desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. How many times are you struggling with a certain sin? You're battling certain addictions. You're battling pornography. You're battling greed. You're battling anger, and you don't really know what to do. You know what? You have a desire to do right, but God is saying, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you a helper that's going to help you stand back. He says, stand down, because the battle's not yours. It's the Lord. That's why Jeremiah 17, he knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. In verse 9, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things. He said, it's desperately sick. Who can understand it? It is not within the capacity of man to really decipher the corruption within the heart of man, which is the command center. When you and I fully understand and know that the heart is the command center of the soul, it is the command center of the will, the mind, and the affections. But it's a high risk, vulnerable place because of sin. He says it's desperately sick. Who can understand it? I understand why we go to therapy. I understand sometimes the needs for certain treatment, but I'm here to tell you, from out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what make a person unclean. That's found in Matthew 15, 18, and 19. He's describing the source of our issues. He's describing the problems found with humanity. And he tells us to keep our heart, to keep your heart, to guard your heart with all diligence. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep on your heart. Understand, he says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. I'm going to close with the solution. Because the Lord did not leave us here to deal with this on our own. The Lord did not leave us to our own devices. And I'm going to tell you now, foolish is he that puts his trust in man. Your eyes, your mind, and your heart must be fixed on Christ. But this is what he said. This is coming from straight from the throne. God has declared, I will put a new spirit within them. I will take the stony heart that does not want to fellowship, that heart that does not want to read, that heart that does not want to walk with God. He says, I'll take that out and give them a heart of flesh, a heart that's receptive to the gospel, a heart that's receptive to the relationship with Jesus, the heart that's receptive that greater is he in you than he that's in the world, a heart that understands that this is God's kingdom. Ezekiel reiterates his promise in chapter 26 and verse 26, he says, I will give you a new heart. That's why Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send another, a comforter. And part of that is a new heart. He says, I'm going to put a new spirit within you, a spirit that's not timid, a spirit that's not afraid. But he says, I'm going to give you a new spirit, a spirit of power, a spirit to overcome, a spirit to do more than you thought was possible, a spirit that'll have you declare, greater is he in me than he that's in the world. He says, I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. He reiterates the point that you need to be reprogrammed with your mind. Your heart needs to be restored and renewed. And he says, He's the one that's going to do it. Finally, Matthew 27, verse 50 through 53. And this is pretty much encapsulates the entirety of this bite-sized message titled The Veil. In verse 50, this is a scene taking place at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It says, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Gave up the spirit of life. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. I'm here to tell you now, there is a prophetic message in that, but God is saying that was the natural veil that broke and cracked and split in two from top to bottom. But God is telling you today, there's a spiritual veil that's preventing you, even as a born again believer and definitely the unbeliever. There's a veil preventing you from seeing the goodness of God, but he's saying it's been cracked. It's been opened. You can come out. And when you come out, you're going to shake the earth. When you come out, the rocks are going to split. When you come out, those dead graves are going to open up, just like he said in Matthew. He said many bodies of the saints at that time who had fallen asleep were raised. But I'm here to tell you now, there's a spiritual allegory to this message, that there are spiritual people right now that are born again and saved, but you're living in a grave. You're stuck in a coffin, but today's the day to come out. Now is the time for salvation. Repent and turn unto the Lord, and he will remove the veil. Christ stands at the door, ready of your heart. If you believe, you will receive a new heart, a renewed mind, and find balance and joy in your life. I pray that you've been blessed, and I pray that you tune in for the second part of The Veil coming soon. God bless you. God bless America.